From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm David Watts Barton. Since he was elected, Sacramento Mayor Kevin Johnson has been trying to change the city charter to give the mayor actual executive powers, which the position currently does not have. He has brought proposals to the council twice before, only twice to be rebuffed. Now he's back with a third proposal, renamed the Checks and Balances Act of 2012, about which the city council will hear arguments tonight and may even vote on whether to put the question to voters in June. To discuss this ongoing and highly contentious issue, we have two local journalists who have been watching it closely. Melissa Corker is City Hall reporter for the Sacramento Press and has been covering this for a couple of years now. And Foon Reed is on the Sacramento Bee's editorial board and has been doing the same. Welcome to Insight.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Melissa, let's start with you. How is this version of what was being called the Strong Mayor Initiative different from what we've seen before?
Well, and on the one hand, it's expanded a little bit. This one includes an ethics and committee and sunshine ordinance aspect to it that previous versions didn't have. This one also calls for a redistricting commission that previous versions didn't have. But at its core, it's essentially a lot of similarities.
Mm-hmm. So, but what about specifically about the charter and the strong mayor, so-called, aspect of it? Has that been changed much? Because there were criticisms. The city attorney had some issues with it, but...
Well, one of the key things that's changed is that initially the mayor was allowed to appoint the city manager and other charter officers, the city clerk, the city attorney, et cetera. In this version, he doesn't have that power. In this version, it would just be the city manager, and then the other charter officers would still be under the purview of the city council. So that's kind of a big thing because it takes away from him where originally he would have been able to appoint department heads and a lot of city personnel would have been under his purview. Mm-hmm. In this case, that doesn't happen. He gets the city manager. So it's important, but it reduces what it was originally for him.
And so all those kinds of hiring and firing decisions remain with the city manager?
Right. They're under the manager. So he would, as he is right now, he gets to determine who the department heads are, and personnel that come and go underneath him stay underneath him. That's how this new version would keep it as well.
Okay. Funri, you've studied this. What about other cities? How does this work in other cities? Because this is a change here, but
right.
This has been done a while now.
Right. There are other cities in California that have a similar system, San Diego, Oakland, San Francisco, to name three. And, you know, I would say there's a mixed record across the state, mm-hmm. but there are, you know, so there are good points and bad points to changing the charter to go to the system. The mayor's office obviously is accentuating the positive points.
Mm-hmm. What about Los Angeles? What's the setup there?
They have a strong mayor system in a way, but there's also a commission that has some power as well. So it would be different here than in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Now we all got started calling it the Strong Mayor Initiative.
Right.
They've rebranded it as the Checks and Balances Act.
Right.
Does that make sense? I mean, does that?
Well, there, as Melissa described, it is different than the original proposal. So there are arguments for changing its name, but at its core, it would give the mayor more power, mm-hmm. and so I would say it's Strong Mayor version 3.0.
Okay. And the powers that he has that the city manager has now.
Right.
You know, some of the argument has been that this is, in terms of accountability, it makes the mayor more accountable. People know they elect the mayor, and so they know who the person is who's making these decisions.
Right. And I think there's a case to be made for that. But I also think that for this to work, and just like the current system, the mayor and the city manager have to be on the same page. And
mm-hmm.
that hasn't quite been the case during the whole time Kevin Johnson's been in office. There have been several managers, as we know, that we've gone through. And, you know, they just haven't been on the same page always.
Yeah, and let me ask you about that, Melissa, because I know you're a regular attendee of city council meetings, and you've talked to everybody there. This council is known for being somewhat dysfunctional. But some of the changes in the city manager's office, how related are those to the city council or to Kevin Johnson, and how much of it is just a situational thing where we have changed a lot of city managers for different reasons?
Right. I would say you could argue that it will make a huge difference or that it might not make any difference at all. If the problem is personality. This mayor and these city managers don't get along or aren't on the same page, or these council members and this city manager or that city manager don't get along. That could change with a new group at any time. So,
which we will be getting.
Right. We have elections coming up pretty quick, and we don't really know what the council may actually end up looking like when the dust settles. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Foon is absolutely correct. The mayor and the city manager, they have to be on the same page one way or another. If at the moment the city manager has to deal with 9 different bosses, as some have said, it may be hard to get everybody all on the same page. But you could say, oh, well, if the mayor appoints the city manager, there's already going to be a congenial sense between them. There's already going to be a sense of cooperation because they already know each other. They already have good reason to work together. But at the same time, he may appoint a city manager, and then this mayor goes out, another city manager comes in, and then you've got the problems all over again.
And we should remember that Kevin Johnson did not support the current city manager, John Shirey, who came from the Redevelopment Association. And if this initiative were to get on the ballot and were to pass, Mr. Shirey has a clause in his contract where he can step down and get a pretty nice severance package out of it. So I would expect that if it does pass, that we'd have yet another new city manager who Mary Johnson would obviously have a hand in selecting, recruiting.
That's Foon Rhee of the Sacramento Bee's editorial board, and also with me is Melissa Corker from the Sacramento Press. Foon, you mentioned that. My understanding is that John Shirey, the current city manager, has said he is not in favor of strong mayor. Is that correct?
He's indicated that. I don't think he said it as clearly as that, but I would be shocked if he stuck around if this were to change the charter.
There's something else that comes up a lot in discussing this is that Mayor Johnson, for better or worse, has been a somewhat polarizing figure. And some people really love him and some people really don't. And some of those people work with him on the city council. How much does having this in June of this year tie it to his reelection? Because they're at the same time, right, Melissa? How's that going to work? And do you think that that's going to settle some of the objections?
I think that having it at this time, rather it's June or November, it's a good thing that the mayor's office is also up for election. It gives the people an opportunity to separate the mayor from the charter revision. And rather this revision or this change is good or bad or indifferent needs to be considered separate of rather not Johnson's going to be the guy sitting in the seat. He could be, or he might not be. The question the voters want to ask is this how we want our city to be governed? Asking it at this time when we know that there's a chance that Mayor Johnson may not still be the mayor is probably the best time to ask if you're going to ask at all.
Yeah, my understanding was that there was a piece that Sandy Sheedy, who I think has been pretty consistently anti the strong mayor, wrote a piece in 2009 saying there will be a new election. And she was against doing something in 2010 in the election. And she just wrote in the Bee, there will be a new election for mayor in 2012. Let the people of Sacramento decide then whether they want to change the city's constitution. And if so, who they want at the helm of a newly fashioned city government, unquote. Foon Rhee, do you think that's going to happen this time?
Well, that's part of the argument that the mayor's office is making, is that they're basically doing what Sandy Sheedy and other opponents back in 2009 asked for. And, you know, their argument is that the opponents keep moving the goalposts and the mayor's office keeps revising this to fit the criticisms, and that it's time to let the people vote. The mayor's office, I think, has been keeping count, and they say that tonight will be the 16th time the city council has discussed this issue. So I think for a lot of people, they just want this issue to be decided once and for all and let the voters decide this.
And do you think that do you think that some of those members who have been resistant in the past will be willing to? And again, we should emphasize this is not passing strong mayor.
Right.
This is putting an agreement to put strong mayor on the ballot in June.
Right. Possibly, but the latest handicapping is that it's going to be probably a 5-4 vote one way or the other. It's looking like Councilman Daryl Fong might be the swing vote. It's possible that he and Steve Cohn will ask for some kind of term limit provision to be added to this before they would agree to make it put it on the ballot. So we'll see about that.
In fact, there have been several big endorsements of the Checks and Balances Act recently. First, former mayors Phil Eisenberg and Jimmy Yee, and just recently Ann Rudin have all come out in support to one degree or another. And yesterday, Senate Pro Tem Daryl Steinberg, who is from Sacramento and was on the city council, also came out and very clearly supported it. Melissa, do you think that those endorsements are going to carry much weight on the city council itself?
They may very well. They're pretty big players and they have big voices. If council's willing to listen to anybody's suggestion, I think that would weigh for them pretty well. But like Foon said, there's the count is not completely in, and there's still a lot of question where the council members are actually going to stand on it, especially with some of the ambiguities that are still in the proposal. They may want those addressed first, and it may not matter who speaks in favor or who speaks against if those things aren't cleared up in the mind of the council members who actually are the ones who say, yes, we want it on the ballot, or no, it's not going to go.
When you say ambiguities, what are there still remaining questions?
There are, and I want to say it's essentially designed that way. It wasn't intended, I don't believe, to be a perfect draft right out of the gate. Some of the things that the city attorney had questioned in her analysis was the Sunshine Ordinance provision and the Ethics Committee provision. It's not exactly specific who's going to be there, or what's it going to do, or what is the frame of that ordinance going to be. They kind of left that open to be discussed apparently with more public input later. And things like that and term limits, again, is another thing that isn't mentioned in there, that council members individually may say, nope, I'm not sure I'm ready to go for this, without those things being clarified.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, another big uncertainty is whether, if this were to pass, whether there would be a ninth council seat. Because if the mayor becomes the chief executive, you go to an 8-member council, that would lead to a lot of tie votes.
A lot of deadlock, yeah.
Possibly. So that's another big decision that has to be made if this is to move forward.
You mentioned Daryl Fong before, who represents the South area. And he has been sort of unpredictable. There tend to be sort of some blocks on the city council, and he's been sort of the Anthony Kennedy on the Supreme Court, right?
Yeah, he's gone back and forth. He has been somewhat unpredictable. On this particular issue, he has suggested that voters should get to decide big issues like this, but he also wants voters to decide on the arena issue.
Right.
And, you know, it's interesting that both of these big issues are happening at the same time under long, similar timetables. There's not a whole lot of time for the council to act if they want to put this on the June ballot. Probably late February at the very latest to get this on the ballot. So if there are revisions to be made to this proposal, there's not much time at all.
And is there any move to put the arena question on the ballot?
No, I mean, that's not really on the table at this point.
Might there be some horse trading on that? Because there are council members, Sandy Sheedy for one, who want to put the arena question on the ballot, whereas the mayor's office wants to just let's go forward.
I can't imagine that the mayor's office would horse trade on that issue, because there's, again, time is of the essence on the arena issue, and there probably is not enough time to get that on the ballot in a way that the city can move forward in time.
Okay. Well, Foon Rhee of the Sacramento Bee Editorial Board, thanks for coming in. And Melissa Corker of the Sacramento Press, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. Coming up, our news network looks at Stockton.